Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable cars and coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Berenstain. Now, here's Spike.
Well, I love a rainy night. I love a rainy night. I love to hear the thunder, watch the lightning when it lights up the sky.
We used to.
You know it makes me feel good.
Eddie Rabbit.
Well,
I love a rainy night. I don't get it. What do you love about it? Do you love the flooding, Eddie? Do you love the panic in the streets? Do you love the mudslides? Do you love the death and destruction? State of California, L.A. getting trounced once again. Yet, here we are. The Spike's Car Radio clan. Undeterred. Dry.
Yeah.
Tired.
Tired. We're just so old and tired.
Goodbye, Eddie Rabbit, forever. You'll never hear another Eddie Rabbit song on the podcast for as long as we live. As I live. Boy, it's been quite 24 hours. Quite a 24 hours of, I really feel like, it seemed like just not long ago, Zuckerman, you and I were sitting here talking about how great the weather was in LA.
Now it's biblical, and it's the great flood.
Biblical for 2 weeks in a row. I've had amazing snow stories and now amazing rain stories.
Yeah.
Rivers
a
of
deluge.
Rain. A deluge. Very common occurrence here in L.A.
I heard that somebody's older Targa is in their underground parking underwater.
Yeah.
That is happening here.
10 inches of rain coming down the street. My battle is always defending my little garage on off the side of the house.
Right.
I don't know what's happening down at Santa Monica Airport. I just gave up on that.
Yeah.
But the street, it's a downhill street. It turns into a river. And every year I go, well, how bad was it? How many sandbags should I put in the little corner there? And, you know, I started getting neurotic about it a few days ago. And I said, I'm going to pile them up high like I'm going into battle in World War II. I'm going to go up as high as my thighs here, just above the knees.
Okay.
Thinking, I think it got that high once, which it's the street like that. And sure enough, it did.
Oh, really?
Did cut that out.
Wow.
It comes down. I forgot it kind of, I kind of jet them out into the street and it hits it and then it gets up high. If I don't do that, it'll go down the short driveway and overwhelm the sump, which has an output, which is also elevated like a mortar. You know, one of those World War II mortars, right. Zuckerman? It's that high, yet the water was that high. So I had to elevate it, the plastic tube, hoping it wouldn't break even more. I put down, I had my flashlight, my Nebu flashlight that I love, that they break all the time, but I love them. They're like 3 million lumens. I had my little hat. I had my outfit, not unlike this. I'm soaking wet. It's an inch of rain a second. I had my umbrella. I put it down. The wind blows it into the river. It just sails down, gone right. forever.
Right.
Like a sailboat. Just disappears. I'm in the dark. Family's just in the house, happy, cozy, right. enjoying life.
You're having a life and death struggle.
I'm having a life
and death struggle. 20 yards away.
Had I been drawn into the river, that would be the end of me. No one would have even noticed that I was gone. But for these days. Little redirections of water saved the garage and the...
We did miss an opportunity, though.
What do you mean?
I think we should have taken an unwanted car, put it in the garage, thrown in a couple of shovelfuls of dirt into the car, and put a garden hose in there, and then just said, look what the storm did.
Right.
It's totaled.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, now you said it out loud. We can't do it.
Well, you could do it.
I'm not going to do it, but I don't know why I get so crazy about it. I get really
did
nuts.
Did the sandbags work?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, because you're like a little kid, you know, you used to try to divert streams, dam stuff, maybe put little boats down.
No, because this is the fourth winter in a row now that I have successfully defended the garage. And when it flows in, it's like, it's a mud flow and it's fine. It's just tires hitting the ground, but I have to then mop it up and it seems worth defending. It seems worth the fun. But I don't sleep well. I didn't sleep well. Did you survive, Johnny? You're up.
Yeah, we live on top of a hill, so it's just, you know, it all runs into my neighbor's yard. It's fine.
Well, let me ask you a question. If the hill collapses, is it better to be on top of the hill or down below? Which way are you have a greater chance of surviving?
You'd have to see the street. We're like midway. We're totally good. We're in the best place possible because the hill then flattens out for 25 feet then goes up. So even if our neighbor's house slid down the hill, it would miss us, hit an abutment. We're golden. We're golden.
You know, it's not, what saved us was no wind. If had the wind kicked up, the trees would have fallen. Had the trees fallen, the electricity goes out, the sump goes out.
Did you see that article about how all the California is losing like millions of trees because of climate chaos?
Yeah.
It's just,
I don't know
crazy.
If it's climate chaos, but.
Yeah,
this isn't the worst flood we've had, you know.
No, this is
this was nothing.
Nothing.
In 1861 of December, they had 45 straight days of rain here. The largest flood in California's recorded history. I just, you know, I know a lot of you deal with flood around the world, and we don't. We're the home of beautiful weather and then sporadic natural disasters.
Mudslides,
earthquakes, mudslides, fires.
Yeah.
And then it's fine again. And this afternoon, it's suddenly fine.
Yeah.
But my backyard had a layer. It's so saturated. It was like it was all water. It was like a pond. So the water was just flowing in so many different directions.
Yeah, your property is incredibly flat. You're just very, very flat.
Yeah, the yard is, but the street is not. And then I look forward to blasting through the streets in the Defender, which was, again, loads of fun. Except yesterday, I hit a puddle that was so dense. I was probably 4 seconds of completely blinded on the windshield of water. Just I hit it too hard,
right.
And I was on a corner, and I was like, oh, geez, I can't see a damn thing. So it's a mix of fun and joy, and the rest of it. And there was tragedy, you know.
I heard, Montecito, yeah, we lost someone.
A bunch of people. It's tense, and when it comes in the middle of the night, it's scary. I'm laying in bed last night thinking, God, that big evergreen tree is just going to topple on me and kill me. I hope.
Yeah. End it, please. Please. We're close. We're close.
Anyway, we're happy to be here doing a show for you today. And let's see, where do we start? We both had Carrera Tees, 911 Tees.
We did have
And I know we talked
Tee for two.
We talked about them.
I hadn't
you know, Zuckerman,
it.
I thought about all of the bad Instagram captions you could make. That was number one in my list. T for two.
I ripped that off from you a few years ago.
Two for tea.
And then they were green. It was green and red, like late holiday cheer, you know, colors.
Yeah, yeah. They're both Euro models.
Yes.
And I did get a chance to drive this car. I drove it up to the Santa Clarita Porsche Cars and Coffee with Matt Farah. In his strawberry shortcake spider, whatever that is, frozen berry blitz, the most talked about spider on the internet.
Andre's cold duck.
And so it's about a 30-mile run up 405 and a great little speedster run. And, manual gearbox, speedy run. The car reminds me of the speedster, though. This Carrera T, it's an interesting car. It's kind of slotted in between the Carrera, base Carrera, and the Carrera S. And they all have these very subtle little differences. Seat deletes. manual gearbox. I don't think there's a manual gearbox available in the base Carrera.
There is. You can get.
I was on the site there yesterday. And it said there wasn't now.
Oh yeah. Oh,
maybe yeah, there wasn't.
Okay.
I did that. Comparing all the different models, going, well, just how is this different? Because it's such an interesting car.
Yeah. My understanding is that it's the GTS with the base engine. That's essentially what you're getting from like, you know, how it's put together type thing. So it's a little bit sportier than the standard and the S, but it just has the, you know, the base horsepower.
Well, it's a T variant for touring.
Right. Oh, no, the T and the GTS are the same. They've had the same
GTS
performance.
GTS has a little more spunk to it. But I think back to 73, Zuckerman, one of my favorite years for Porsches. Mm. And I have owned pretty much every car except for the E in a 73. Mm. And I remember at one point having a 911T, a 911S, and a 911RS. And I had driven a 911E. I had all of these different variants of the 73.
And they're all valid.
And they're all amazing cars. But the car that I drove the most
was the T.
The 911T, the white 911T. It was the one that wasn't the most thrilling, but it was the car that I got in more often than not to relax and drive, and it's the one that I put the miles
in. It had a broader sweet spot.
And this car, this new 2023 Carrera T, reminded me of that car.
That's what Porsche does really well, is slice up these little... You say, how can they have 29 911s or 26 or whatever it is? And they do manage to differentiate these cars.
Shockingly, what they're good at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it feels light, and it feels special.
So it is the lightest 911.
Right.
Yep.
And you can feel that. It's fast, but it's balanced. It's not like these, you know, and there's something to be said for that, Zuckerman. You and I have these Tourings, these GT3 RSs, right, and these other cars. This car, blasting up to Santa Clarita, I was just so happy. I got around anything I needed to get around, but it's a car that makes you want to drive it. There are a couple of little things about it that bug me. The side emblem. I don't like the way the Carrera T emblem looks, but that's a simple...
It's a minor thing.
Optional.
It's an emblem delete. Yep. Could remove, which I would
take
definitely
a hair dryer.
Do. Yeah. I would keep it on the back. I would want to have folks know that I'm driving a T. And I think it's a pretty good value, too. I mean,
especially because the one you had was 149,000, mm-hmm, something like that. The one I had,
if we're talking about that being a good value.
Yeah. So at 128, I think.
Mine was 137.
137.
The base
is
116. 16,000.
Yeah, so right? Mine, the green one I had like two options, and it got up to, you know, I was 128, I think, out the door.
This has Power Steering Plus, which definitely contributes to your driving pleasure. Rear axle steer, I didn't really feel it. Beautiful Matrix design headlights, which I did use. I don't know, but it's in here, Zuckerman, it's red, yet that didn't stop me from driving the car. I'm driving it every day. Driving it every day, everywhere I can go.
Looks good.
And I just, it's just a happy, likable experience. Now, does it thrill? No. Is it that special that it gets you the attention you want to get it at the Cars and Coffee where I was at? A little bit. It was a lot of folks coming up to me and whispering, hey, you know, I had a Carrera T. but quietly, like almost ashamed.
So I got to actually, when I met you guys on Sunday, took it down Tuna. Uh-huh. And, you know, boy, if you put some better tires on, you can say this of any car, but like, it's pretty damn good. I think it's just because it's the lightest 911 there is. Like, you know, it if you really get on it, it can thrill. You know, not, you know, it's not a GT3, but it's a pretty damn compelling.
It's a valid choice, you say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And lightness is the Porsche thing. The lightest 911 is valid. That's a valid quest.
Yeah. And I think I would take it over an S. Even though it's a little slower, you know, you can chip it. You can get more power if you need it. But as you're pointing out, with, you know, 385 horsepower, it's plenty quick.
I love any Porsche that's well balanced. Mm. All of the different systems in this car are balanced. Here's my other complaint. Small fix, but you can't fix. I would scratch out the 6 and the 7 on the shift knob.
Right?
I can't. They're
it's
useless.
Too crowded.
It's too crowded. The car is very happy in third gear around town and fourth gear on the highway. And then fifth gear when you want to chill. I used 6 and 7 just to see what happened, and it's worthless.
Yeah.
Why are they doing that?
Fuel economy. You get big numbers on the highway. At 80 miles an hour, that engine's not even spinning in seventh gear.
So, 600 RPM.
I think it's like 1900. I mean, it's barely doing anything.
It's too bad because just five gears would make that car just perfection. And it's a pretty perfect little thing. If you're messaging me and asking me, should I get one? Get one. Yeah, definitely get one.
Definitely.
You'll be very happy. Yep. But make it look special. Get a special color. This Guards Red is good. You had Python Green.
Python Green, baby.
Not bad.
You're right. If you got rid of the T thing on the side, it would look so much
definitely better. Definitely get rid of that and give it a special color, and you'll have a special little GT car.
What would your color be?
Shark blue for me.
Yeah, some kind of blue.
Shark blue.
Like a lighter, not a Mexico, but around Mexico blue.
Mm-hmm.
Like blue jeans blue kind of blue.
Right.
They do jet black, gentian blue. Ice gray, Chuck Sover, Ruby
gray.
Star Neo.
What about that China gray? Is there a China gray that we saw?
No. But there's Ruby Star Neo. What is that?
That would not be good. I can guarantee.
I don't know. Ruby Star Neo? That's not. I know Ruby Stone. It might be like a metallic, maybe?
Something frosty and pink.
Yeah.
Ruby Star Neo?
Like the color of your phone cover, Lieberman.
Maybe. I'm Googling it. I don't know. My phone's like, well, anyways, no one can see it.
How did your truck do up in, where did you go skiing?
Big Bear. Oh, it was incredible.
Wait, did they get a lot of snow up there too?
We got like, it was supposed to be 10 inches. I think it was more like 7 inches, but it got down to the 20s. So it everything froze.
Yeah, that's
which
what
was
happened.
Which is a pain in the butt. Because on the Rivian, there's so many orifices that open up.
Now you had frozen truck disorder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
And it was...
Door handles. What else froze on the side of the truck?
Well, the door handles, the doors. So that's eight things that froze. Then the frunk. I had the boots and the helmets in the frunk. And that was buried under a layer of ice. The gear tunnels... both of them froze. And then the worst was the tailgate was just frozen solid. And I had the tonneau cover shut because I had my skis in the back there because I'd never put the ski rack on. And like, I had to sit there for 20 minutes, like getting the tailgate to open so I can get my skis out.
Really?
Yeah.
How did you do it?
I have this weird machete in the car that I
use. So just brute force?
Yeah. I just used to like hack at the ice. No, it's not the car. Like if I would have.
Wait, seriously, you hacked at paint with a machete?
No, I hacked at ice with a machete.
Do you remember?
But hold on, back up.
Yeah.
But the ice is over the paint. Did you damage your car?
In this case, the ice was over the tonneau cover on the back of the tailgate. Okay. So, no.
Is this a design flaw?
No, not really.
It was a weather flaw.
It's ice, right? It was a weird thing. So it had rained and then it froze.
Right.
So just everything got ice solid. You know, so like if I would have boiled a pot of tea and poured it over, like I could have solved it that way. I'm from Southern California. Ice is like a very freaky situation to me.
Yeah.
Remember the old 911s had that little eyedropper of glycerin in the glove compartment to drop onto your key.
Right.
Yeah.
And that way you could get it in the lock.
Yes.
Yeah. But it wasn't like the doors were very not a problem. It was just
key loop.
It was just the tailgate
for your car's pleasure.
And then the other thing that sucked, and I've actually been talking to Ruben about this, was the frunk where I had the boots and the helmets.
Yep.
Had tons of snow on it, snow and ice on it. So once I got it open, it automatically pops up. It's got whatever you call them, the things that open it. They couldn't open it, so I had to hold it up, which not the end of the world, but the second you let go, it just drops like a rock.
Like a guillotine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it smashed my hand pretty good. So that's
again, just for all the listeners, I'm going to state again, I don't go to the mountains. I want nothing to do with any of
Why do they, all the listeners care about that sucker?
They do, and they all DM me to say
just
I'm with
for
you.
All the listeners.
Well, no, I'm going
to say it again. I don't do anything.
In other words, you guys are stupid.
I sit on the toilet.
But it was funny though because
I eat coleslaw.
I had that.
tell your listeners about that.
But Spike, you'll relate. Like, you know, before I got on the ski lift, everything was a nightmare, right? The kid, he's 5 years old,
yes,
pain in the ass.
It's difficult.
So I have Zuckerman in my head, like, I just stopped skiing. And I'm like, God, my wife could be dealing with this. Why am I doing this? And you'll be interested in this, Zuckerman.
It's fun.
They're entry,
beautiful moments. They're beautiful moments.
Rear entry ski boots have changed my life.
Ooh.
Do you know about these?
No.
No.
I know about the
and
heated.
The way you say it yeah. really makes me creep
I know
out.
About the heated ski boot. That I like.
Yeah, no. Those. So I have big calves. In my entire life, I've hated ski boots.
No kidding. Zuckerman?
One of these Lieberman problems.
Yeah, well.
My mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother all were known
big
for
calves.
their calves.
We're called big calves.
When they stomped on the stage in Fortville and the Catskills, they, why those Lieberman women?
Shore up those floorboards. The big calfers are coming on. The Lieber swine are moving through.
And so I said something at the rental place, like, is there anything, you got any, like, you know, big at the top ski boots? And they're like, well, we have these old rear entry boots, which apparently was a thing, and the technology's gotten a lot better. But yeah, it's great. You like step into them. Changed my life. I had the best.
Changed my life. I'll change your life. Go to the beach.
No.
Go to Hawaii.
I hate the beach. I had so much fun.
You hate the beach?
I hate the beach. Look at me. Do I look like my entire family?
There's a lot of pain, Zuckerman, but there was a moment where I was skiing with my son, James. We came down a backside on a green trail and where we're surrounded by just fresh snow, no people, just dead silence and just shh. And it was worth the whole trip. That moment, that little run was so peaceful and so tranquil. And my son at the end said, he goes, did you feel that back there? And I said,
take him to a nudie bar. You'll have the same, feeling with your son.
Take him to a nudie bar with some coleslaw. You know where peaceful. I go? To the deli case at Gelson's. That's where I live.
Put him on the toilet.
Big Wrist is my name. Come on, Zuckerman. You got to live your life.
But anyways, Rivian in snow.
Yeah.
There's a new snow mode.
What about the, I mean.
Unstoppable.
Sorry to interrupt, but look. When I was driving up to Tahoe, I was so happy that I was in a car that I could put gas in. And maybe it's just because I get paranoid and anxious about it, but you're in the middle of nowhere, you're going over a mountain pass, and you're like, geez, I'm so glad I'm not thinking about electricity here. Did you deal with any of that?
No, I planned ahead. So, you know, before we went up the hill, I
with
charged
who?
It to about 100%.
Okay.
I got to the cabin with 66% of the battery left.
That's good.
I had a 110 cord, so I plugged it in to kind of maintain the battery life.
Okay. And what does that do for you, really?
It just maintains it. And
a mile an hour or something?
Yeah, if that. But it what it does is it prevents the battery from getting cold.
Degrading, I see.
Yeah. So when we left the house, I had 50% battery left, got to the bottom of the hill, 50% battery left.
Oh, good.
Yeah, got home with 26%.
Well,
so
that's
It was not even an issue at all.
Was there a supercharger up there somewhere?
There's nothing even resembling a supercharger
in Big Bear. Really?
No, it's very 1980s up there. Like,
yeah, no, I know.
You know what I mean? Like,
but that's surprising that you then took your truck up and took that run.
Well, because I knew there was a charger close to the bottom, so I got it to 100%. And, you know, again, I could have driven slower, but it got up with 66%. We used 16% or, you know, whatever, kind of running around and, you know, just kept it plugged in at night and it was fine.
No chains needed? No ice?
No, the tires I got are, they're, you know, three
peaks. Did they have any snow up there?
Tons of snow.
On the road, I mean.
Yeah. Well, again, the morning that we actually went skiing, it had snowed about 7 inches of snow. So it was pretty good.
That's decent.
Yeah,
that's
pretty good.
Well, they're getting more right now.
Oh, they're getting hammered right now.
I don't know if you guys follow the Consumer Electronics Show. But
yes.
It's turning into a car show. I've never had so many people go, hey, you got to come here. It's a car show.
Which
I respond, I'm really not liking cars these days. Why would I go there to look at cars I can just see on the internet? I can just see them just fine. But what's happening there? They're turning it into... It's like this little pathway off of the car show circuit, and now it's this other kind of electronic device car that's being developed.
Yeah,
like
well,
Sony
look,
something or other,
I mean,
Apple something or other.
You know this, right? I mean, software now defines the car. In fact, MotorTrend, we gave out our software defined vehicle awards for the first time at CES.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, no one's really hiring tons of mechanical engineers. It's software engineers are getting hired by car companies. I forget the numbers, but like, you know, BMW hired 7,000 software engineers, you know, and Stellantis did like 10,000 or something.
Stellantis.
I like the
Stellantis. They're our next Blue Chew competitor. The last 80 Stellantis.
Driving Chevy.
One Stellantis pill will give you an erection less for
365 days.
So CES has always been huge for the car world, but now it's even more important.
Plus, the new Dodge Ram was up there.
The Ram, they unveiled it there.
It looks pretty cool. Yep. It looks nice.
Ram Revolution.
They had that crazy BMW with the electronic paint job.
Well, if you get past the paint job, that thing is killer looking. Do you see that, Zuckerman?
No.
But that's, it changes colors. Why would you get past that? That's the only really interesting part of it.
No. That's going to be the new 2025 BMW. It's called the Nuova Classe. That's the new thing.
Right.
And that'll just never make production. They'll just never.
Why?
Oh, because it just won't.
That's one of those things tapping on the door of car design. Everybody wants it. Everybody would love to be able to change the color of their car when they go out. Why can't they?
It's just expensive. It's a show car. But that car itself is killer looking. It looks like an old BMW 700.
I'm more interested in changing the colors.
I mean, you can buy wraps that'll change in the sunlight. You know. But that was cool. And then there's that new, it's called a horrible name. It's Ophelia, I think it's pronounced.
The Sony car?
Sony Honda joint effort car.
That's a weird collab.
I mean,
what is that?
Well, I don't know. Travel.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. What is it? Is it like the Bravia TV blended with a?
Yeah, I mean, here's what it is.
Machine. Let's get an espresso Alfa Romeo.
The Japanese car industry is very bad at being leaders. They're great at being followers. You know, they can, you know, somebody invents a segment, they will get into it and do very well, but they don't really like do massive innovation. So none of them have any real plans to electrify anything. So Sony was like, hey, you know how to build cars. We're good at electronics. Like, let's collab. And that's what it's going to be.
That's funny you say that. Alfred Sloan, the famed head of General Motors in the 20s and 30s, always said, never be first at anything.
Yeah, well,
rip off the idea and perfect it.
I mean, that's what they're great at.
It's a hatchback. Sony's making a hatchback.
I mean, it looks like the Lucid. It looks like a ugly Lucid.
Front double wishbone suspension, rear multi-link independent suspension, dual motor, all-wheel drive, sub 5 seconds 0 to 60, and fat tires. That's all we know.
Well, it's also going to have a lot
there
of
it is
like,
right there, Zuckerman. Take a look at it.
Weird.
See, in the new studio, we're going to be able to put this right up on the screen and talk about
it. So it's going to have a lot of like PlayStation-like graphics and stuff like that.
I think it looks great, actually.
You like it?
Yeah,
I think it looks like a dumpy Lucid. But
I'm ready for all new-looking things.
Yeah.
I just want new-looking things. If they're going to be electric, they better be different-looking. But this Ram was the one that really caught my attention. I thought, again, they better get that Cybertruck out quick. There's a lot of cool-looking trucks coming out right now. And with the Dodge brand and the Ram brand, which we all love, how do you beat that?
So the wildest thing about that is it's a three-row. You can actually, like, scoot the rear seats forward, and then little, like, tumble seats, whatever they call them, fold down. So in a pinch, you could get, like, three rows. And the seats come out, and you can, like, stick them in the bed for tailgating or stick them in the frunk. So you can, like, take the driver's seats out and put them in the frunk and sit and watch something. It's pretty wild.
What cars get the most electric charge miles?
What do you mean?
Do you know the top 10? Most miles per charge.
I don't understand the per charge part.
You charge up your Rivian.
Yeah.
How many miles?
Benz.
Do you get? Who has the best?
Oh, Lucid by like leaps and bounds. Yeah, Lucid. The Lucid Air.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who's number two?
Lucid. Lucid's going to be like top four or something.
Lucid is not number two. Tesla Model S, 405
miles. Oh, 405 for the long range. Okay. Well, that's not fair.
You know who's not on this list is Mercedes, weirdly.
Really? I'm that's not what sure I thought why. You would say.
It's not Mercedes. A good list because that thing can do 380.
Tesla Model 3 is number 3. Here's Mercedes EQS, 350.
Okay.
Tesla Model X, 348. Tesla Model Y. So they have all their spots. They're in the top 7. We go down to the BMW iX and then the Ford F-150 Lightning at 320. So and then you're in Rivian.
The Rivian does 328 now. It just got a software update. It went from 314 to 328.
So that would put you in eighth place.
If I had the right tires. With those tires, I'd be way off. It's very tire dependent.
Tesla range now exceeds the stock price by a couple of hundred.
Factor of four.
Yeah, by a factor of four.
But is it true range? That's what I'd want to know.
No.
Every time I bring one of these German cars in, I go, huh, that one really stays charged a lot longer
than our Tesla. That Mercedes, I got over 400 miles. That
Mercedes makes me wonder.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else can we talk about here? Oh, Porsche is debuting three 1970s rally-inspired decal packs for the 911 Dakar. Johnny's very excited about this. I can see him talking about it now.
Do we care would be my question.
Hold on. Let me tell you what they are. I like them. There's Rally 1971. This guy right there. There is, checking out on my phone. There's Rally 1974, and then there's Rally 1978.
Yeah.
This car continues to be very interesting. When we were chatting about it, I was chatting with Matt Farah about it and Dean Maroney of Porsche Santa Clarita. And we, you know, again, wondering who's the car for? There seems to be a lot of interest. He said he's selling a lot of these cars, a lot of, but it doesn't sound like they're numbering production, which makes it less rare.
It's the price is going to keep it rare. I mean, it's a,
what's, you know, the
sticker? Talking about it. I can't remember it exactly, but like out the door, it's going to be 300. I mean, that's
really
like 258.
And then you add tax, you're going to be in this state. You'll be at 340.
Wow.
Yeah. You could probably look it up on the configurator, but they're very expensive for what it is. Cause essentially it's a GTS lifted a little bit.
Right.
Doesn't have a ton of like
with the right tires though, our ski trip without the kids.
Totally do it. Yeah.
You'd be fun, right?
Yeah. But you could all, you know, if you lift anything and put snow tires on it, you can go anywhere.
I'm just saying, like, for me, if I were a guy going to Tahoe all the time to ski, like, all the time, I would take that car right away.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be fun. It would be fun.
I just think, and we talked about this on Sunday, just for the money, you could get that Lamborghini Stelato, which is a naturally aspirated V10. It's not a, you know, twin turbo 470 horsepower. It's a 600 some horsepower V10 with all wheel drive with just as much snow capability. And you can put skis on that. I'd rather have that for the money.
Put some skis on that.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm getting a Lamborghini Friday.
Ooh, which one?
This Huracan variant.
The Technica?
You got it.
Yeah, you're going to like that.
Have you driven it?
I have, extensively. It's the STO with a frunk and
no wing.
What's that?
And no wing.
It has a small wing, not a giant wing. Yeah.
So it's like a touring STO.
It's a touring STO.
Wow.
It's like you don't even read my work. I think I actually called it that.
I don't. No.
Good. Don't. No good.
Where would I read it?
Motor Trend. You would read what I write on Motor Trend, Spike.
Unless you appear on the front page of my Yahoo.
Gotcha.
You know what I see more often than not is Drive for some reason. I see Drive a lot. I see Jalopnik. And then if I go to Motor Trend, I have to go to Car and Drive or Road and Track and Motor Trend. It doesn't find me.
Very interesting.
I'm getting very lazy with car content. I want it to come to me. I figure if everybody's going to spy on me, send me the stuff I like.
Right.
And if you're not sending it to me, it's not worth me reading. That's right, the advantage of having all the folks spy. But you know who's spying on you right now?
Who is spying on you right now? Also, I think Paul's falling asleep.
The people the people who make these electronic digital license plates, not only are they spying on you, but I guess there's this group of guys who hack things.
Yes.
For positive. They're white hats, they're called.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were able to very easily hack into Reviver's digital California license plate and do whatever they want.
So
change the number, change the message.
So
I'm a wiener.
why would you ever get an electronic license plate? What's the advantage?
Well, I think if you were, you know, we saw this Tesla. I'll post this Tesla Model 3 that we saw at the Porsche Santa Clarita Cars and Coffee that was slammed and had all sorts of mods on it. Something my kids would like, right? So, and people were playing music and the lights were all reacting to it. He had that electronic plate and it was recessed into the body. And it looked cool. It may, it kind of was okay. a finishing touch on something futuristic. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think other folks will design a car, spec it out like monochromatic and want a monochromatic look. They're very black and white. Other than that, I'm not sure why you would do this.
I mean, I know
that, it's subscription.
Yeah. So you, I know the one advantage is you don't have to worry about sticking a tag on. It like doesn't.
Oh, that's so difficult.
That's not hard. Yeah. I don't know.
But I wouldn't. I'm so tired of subscriptions. I don't want to subscribe to stuff anymore.
Right.
I don't want to subscribe.
Right.
Don't ask me to subscribe to a license plate. Are you out of your mind?
You saw BMW did an about face in the U.S. They said they were not going to charge any subscription for any subscriptions, and now they reversed it.
Well, look, the future of the car business is subscription.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. I'm not paying for something I already paid for.
Well, it's just, if you ever take a look, I have to keep now a list, a file of all of the subscriptions I have.
You're getting soaked for a couple
starting
grand
with
a month.
TV,
yeah.
Then moving into all of the software and app subscriptions because I will forget and then they'll just be leeching off me for years and years. It's
nuts. Every year I'm like, why is my baseline credit card bill like $1,000 a month? It just jumps up.
This is the biggest problem this country is facing. Right? Yeah.
This is it. We figured it out.
It's not politics. It's this daily subscription grift.
The chiseling.
These companies are like strippers in a Vegas strip joint, just taking dollars.
Reaching into your pocket like just a hugger mugger.
How can we take more money out of your pocket? How can we do it?
How's your Netflix movie coming?
It's great. What's wrong with that? That's the only thing that's not reaching into my pocket. It's stuff in my pocket.
How much money you got on you?
Hey,
give me some.
Even eggs. They figured out how to get us on eggs, Zuckerman. Zuckerman and I are like,
you
where
can
are
buy
all,
eggs.
Where are the eggs? Where are the eggs? Where did they go?
Avian flu.
You know what they did?
Yeah.
They killed 54 million chickens last week.
Yeah.
And I started thinking, is that a chicken holocaust? Are the chickens going to rise up against us?
Luckily, no.
But if you were a chicken,
it's not good.
I mean, imagine you killed 54 million of these creatures, these living animals.
But we kill, I mean, how many do we kill a year to eat? Well, it's on the order of billions.
I read an article about working at the chicken plant, and they had a guy who did 10 years for manslaughter in prison who said working 2 days at the chicken plant gave him more nightmares than killing a guy and being in prison.
Because you're just killing animals.
Yeah, and the horrific nature of the plant.
Yeah,
I grew up with a guy whose dad was from, like, you know, nowhere Tennessee, who wasn't, you know, the idea of being a vegetarian was the last thing on his mind, but because he worked at a chicken slaughterhouse, he wouldn't eat chicken.
Yeah.
He'd eat anything else.
Yeah. No, I'm with him.
Yeah.
It's weird. Whenever I used to go fishing, I didn't want to eat my own fish. I didn't like the idea of catching it and killing it and then eating mine. I would eat somebody else's.
I just choose not to think about it at all. Because the second I do, it's like, you've seen those like horrible, like the pigs, like.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's just awful.
I always arrive in the same place. I feel terrible. I feel a lot of sympathy for animals, but I do like eating them.
I really enjoy eating them.
Yeah, and so I don't know what to do with all of these mismatched emotions and feelings.
Eat dirt.
Do what I do. Compartmentalize it, stuff it deep down inside, never think about it.
I wouldn't be able to survive.
Yeah,
I like a nice piece of bacon. I like a nice piece of sausage, but I wish the piggy didn't die.
It's also I don't mind them dying. It's the way they die. Like I remember one time, like I watched our friends have a farm, and I watched my wife. They're like, "Do you guys want to kill a chicken?" And I'm like, "Last thing on earth I'd ever do." And my wife's like, "I'd like to try it." So I watched her like slaughter this chicken, and they're getting all spiritual with it, and I'm just like,
what do you think, Zuckerman? Your wife slaughtering a chicken, a turn on or a turn off?
You know.
Now we're getting down to the nitty gritty at Spike's Car Radio.
It has to be my wife.
Go ahead. No.
I don't know.
Just a wife slaughtering a chicken.
Any woman slaughtering a chicken is not a turn on.
It's not a turn on.
It's not a turn. No.
No.
I have feelings for animals. I don't like, just like you, I like eating them. You know, the worst thing, but I don't want to see them. I thought it would be great to go to a bullfight once. And that was a terrible experience.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible. So, we're Ernest Hemingway. I'm here in Spain. I'm going to go. And then I saw them torture the poor thing and then cut it up into bits for the poor people. And
it's horrible. I went to one in Mexico. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I almost blew up a herd of cattle in Cambodia with my M1 carbine rifle grenade.
Charlie's in the tree line. Is that what you were?
No, I was at a shooting range. They don't hit the cows. And I said, how do I do that? I've never fired this weapon before. And I almost killed the cows. That's the closest I came to.
You went to a shooting range in Cambodia?
The end of the runway, yeah. I've told this story on the podcast.
I don't listen to this podcast.
I think you were here. Maybe you weren't, Thomas.
It was way before you. We were in Podcast One Studio.
Okay,
we talked about your travels.
It was delightful.
Wow.
Shooting all sorts of weapons and a lovely tour. And
wow.
Almost died in a bar with a hand grenade. And it was a little adventure. We used to go on these, my friend John Fortenberry and I from New York, we'd go on these. We were always in the city working on TV shows. So when we had time off, we were like, let's get out of this concrete jungle and go have an adventure somewhere. Let's drive across Guatemala in a Suzuki Samurai. Let's go to Cambodia. Let's go to Cuba. We would go to all these places and have adventure, take pictures. And in Vietnam and Cambodia, it was a motorcycle trip. We heard you can just hail anybody down in Ho Chi Minh City and take their motorcycle for a few days. And it's true. You can. You just go like this at the time. And you go, can I rent your bike? They go, here you go.
Wow.
I'll meet you here in a couple of days. And somehow they find you. They're able to. And
because they never left. They just stayed in that one spot.
They do. Yeah. They did. They would come out and they'd meet you there. And there's a lot of literary history there and a lot of war history. We crawled through tunnels and shot weapons and then went off to Cambodia. And we were told when you're leaving the airport, just go down this road and there's a shooting range there. And they'll let you shoot whatever you want. The army's there. You can shoot their weapons. And on a Tuesday,
what can you do with their wives?
On a Tuesday, 100 yards from the end of the runway, we were brought over to this drunk man without a shirt who had three long tables with white sheets on them who was drunk.
Yeah.
And we each proffered a $100 bill. Just we didn't know how to speak Cambodian. Gave it to him and he pulled the sheets off and he goes, whatever you want.
Wow.
Hand grenades. Wild.
Hand grenades.
Not really a bazooka, but it looked like an M1 carbine rifle that had an inverted bowling pin metal grenade on it.
Oh, a grenade launcher.
That fired. Fortenberry, my friend, famously juggled a live grenade, pulled the pin and threw it and didn't go over the mound all the way. We had to hit the deck. It was wild.
I mean, Paul, you travel. When I travel, I'm like, where is somewhere nice to eat? I'd like to see a museum.
Oh, they're great. There's great food there, too.
Yeah, but
I mean, you couldn't leave the hotel. It's after 6. That was the problem.
Because you get killed.
You get killed, yeah. And someone did right outside the hotel. Someone rolled a grenade into a bar. Again, I told this story before, and forgive me if you've heard it before,
sorry,
but they said, don't go. And I'm sitting on smoking a Cambodian cigarette and looking at this bar, and John's like, let's go to the bar. And they said not to go. It's 7 o'clock. They said not to leave the hotel after 6. He goes, come on, it's right there. And then it exploded. And there were no sirens.
Wow.
There was no, just people coming out bloody and messy and smoky.
They went home.
The next day, what was that all about? And it turns out someone, a spurned lover. Because you can buy hand grenades in the meat market. So their farmer's markets, hand grenades, $15 back then.
Okay.
You get a steak or a hand grenade.
It's a good price.
Whenever you check into these hotels, it said, please check your weapons and bombs.
Really?
In lots of different languages.
They should stock the hand grenades with the eggs.
Oh, they're great signs, Zuckerman. You would love them. I came home with so much artwork, warning sign artworks about rabies and bombs and beautiful, like, handmade painting things that they were using for their public service messages. You would love it. Before checking into hotel, please put grenade on counter and a picture of a guy with a grenade handing it to a guy. I mean, who has signs like that?
I just want to say, when you said the word rabies, he really started smiling.
I always wanted rabies. I always wanted some rabies.
It's a lovely place. And their motorcycles, they have these really reedy little Korean motorcycles you've never heard of.
Two-stroke whiz wagon.
Yeah, yeah. And roads are terrible. And the only caveat is if you go down, they're flying you out of there. There's no real hospitals or ambulances. You're going to Thailand, and that's expensive.
Right.
Remember at the time, it was a $2,000 helicopter ride. I can only imagine what it is now. And I'm sure it's not fast, judging from where we were.
That's a wild. I would just never think to do anything. I mean, I'd go to Cambodia to eat food, but like, just, I don't know.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
Young.
We had
cameras. We liked to do things. We liked to come back and tell our friends in New York, look what we did. There's some fun stuff.
Yeah.
It was good.
Now here you are going to Palm Springs, fighting with the valet guy over the charge station.
Where's my hand grenade?
I tell that story.
Yeah.
I think about that guy.
I offered to call him up. I offered to call him up for you.
Yes. He wouldn't let me charge at the hotel.
Why not?
Because I wasn't a real guest. I was staying at a resort house off the resort, like a few feet away.
Oh, screw that guy. Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. He didn't like me.
Took one look at you. Knew what you were.
I am in a white Mercedes EQS. He had the red hat on.
Yeah. He said, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Ferristine.
Yeah. You didn't say like, hey, if a real guest shows up, unplug me and plug them in?
I did. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then he just walked away. Stopped talking to me.
Wow.
So I called the manager. They said, go down. It's cool.
I tried to bribe a girl at the Big Bear for better parking.
Didn't work.
She wouldn't take the money. I gave her $20. She handed it back. I gave her $100. Nope.
Only Zuckerman.
She probably thought
bribe.
That you meant something else.
No, I have my wife and kid. Trust me, she knew what I meant.
She really wouldn't take it.
She wouldn't take it because I'm like, come on. Because they changed parking this year. You used to be if you got there at 7:30, you can get a spot. Now you can't. You have to reserve it the day before.
You don't have the right face. I've got a face for it, Ferriston.
Yeah.
There's something understood between me and these people.
What would that face be called, pray tell?
Felonious.
Not what I was thinking,
Felonious.
Johnny.
Felonious. Yeah, wouldn't take my bribe. Handed it back twice.
It's the hardest thing in the world to do a bribe correctly. I don't like it either.
She was like 17.
So much fun.
Huh?
So much fun. Here, take this. Give me that.
Yeah.
It does work more often than not. I'm surprised it didn't in that situation.
I gave her 100 because I was just like the screaming five-year-old. You don't want to walk in ski boots with a five-year-old.
Why do you take that kid anywhere? Come on.
I don't know. Trying to be a good parent. I know.
Yeah. How did he do?
He loved it. He took a lesson. He loved it. Yeah, he did great.
See? The kids love it, Zuckerman. That's why. You're trying to give them a happy childhood. Once they leave, you don't have to go skiing anymore. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I am not going skiing. I already turned down one ski trip to go play tennis last time. Remember? Thanksgiving. I said, no, thank you. I'm going to go where it's warm and hit tennis balls.
I don't think... the kids have never said, Dad, you never went skiing with us. They went away plenty of times with me. They're not missing out.
You think your children are terrified?
But did they go skiing? Did they get to go skiing? Oh, as long as they went skiing, you don't need to be there.
He says yes. They're terrified of me.
Well, okay. They know that there's a lot.
But you were never an athletic dad. You weren't the type of dad to go out and play Little League and do any of these things, right?
My kids played Little League.
No, your kids did, but you weren't the dad out there.
I was not the coach.
Did you ever have that toss with your son and the glove throwing the ball?
Probably.
Probably.
I don't remember
you
specifically.
You never played sports growing up. You never did any of that?
We went bowling. And then we were in the bowling league, and then we'd go across the street to Arby's and see if we could get the roast beef to stick on the ceiling.
What would happen, Zuckerman, if you were to throw out the first pitch at a baseball game? Would it be embarrassing?
No, I could make it.
You think you could?
Before I tore my rotator cuff, for sure.
And how did you do that? Eating coleslaw? It wasn't playing baseball.
I was not unathletic, and okay. I certainly did play tennis.
You did? You're a tennis player?
Before I tore my rotator cuff, I could play.
And you can't anymore?
I can't serve over my head.
Why don't you come back and play tennis with us?
What's wrong with your knee right now?
Nothing right now.
You have tendinosis. Yeah, I just had knee surgery. I need shoulder surgery. Not running around on the tennis court with you.
Zuckerman's my doctor, so I call him when I get all these things. I go, is this guy on the level? He's telling me I have tendinosis and need surgery. He goes, no. There's a million things you can do before I sue him. How about take two Advils? And I take two Advils, and I'm fine.
Right.
Yeah, but I was told yesterday, this guy's like, you're going to have to get surgery.
This is from tennis?
Not from tennis.
He hurt himself.
No.
He's old.
Hold on. Back up.
Yeah, back up.
Previous injuries, he's saying. This is a thing. And I said to the guy, I said, look, I'm not a pro athlete, and I'm not even in a lot of pain here. I don't know why you would jump to that. I still, and I'm not going to do
that. That's what he does for a living. He cuts people.
Surgeons love to cut you open. They really do. Yeah.
To a hammer, everything's a nail. To a surgeon, everything's an opportunity. Stick that fucking
they do.
Scalpel right in you.
Yeah. And they seem to give you the option of the surgery a lot. This is the second time they were like, we just do the surgery. And I'm like...
Because it's called elective surgery. You're not dying. It's not like you got a tumor.
You're still playing tennis and I'm fine. So I don't know why I would do this. I just have a little bit of pain, but it's totally livable here. You know, the one, I think it's one of man's, and as men, you'll understand this, one of our great weaknesses, it's not a strength, is the ability to ignore medical problems for long periods of time.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yes.
And
yeah.
Well, it's chronic.
I'm 7 months in, and I'm totally fine continuing
until
this
to ignore it until it locks up, and then you need a knee replacement. You should do, you know, the...
He just tosses that in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember, if you had the surgery, you could get the... propofol and the fentanyl. Ooh. And the Versed. Mm. And the paper panties. This yeah. would all be, you know, you could have that same
tempting.
Experience that I had.
I'd be willing to, I don't want to make any more bets, but I'm going to be fine. I've been stretching myself out, rolling my leg. I feel good. And I bet you, aren't there steroid shots? Aren't there some basic
cortisone? Get a little cortisone there into the compartment.
And I'm going to take a little break and I'm going to stay off it for a month.
Try putting raw liver. You get some raw liver, put it on your knee.
Yeah. Is it torn?
No.
Oh,
scar tissue. Listen.
Yeah, you're
scar
fine.
Tissue.
You're fine.
I called
you're
up fine. My knee surgeon yesterday and said, hey, doc. It's kind of oozing and smells rather foul. What? I'm kidding. Just joking. I'm fine.
It's not my knee. It's gang.
Spike's Surgical Radio.
Wow.
Hey, we had a nice Cars and Coffee with Bill from the Malibu Kitchen.
Oh, I wish on we Saturday. Recorded that.
Was it Saturday funny? Or Sunday? It was Sunday. The people always ask, what are you guys doing now? Well, I sent out a group text to Zuckerman and Farah and Lieberman and Bill and Moise, and everybody showed.
Moise was confused. There was too many voices.
Yeah.
Too much noise around him. He was.
But it was weird to see Bill in that space.
Yes.
He came like a regular customer. Guy.
And he was a celebrity, remember?
Yeah.
All of us are there. One guy walks up to the table and says, oh, I think it's to Bill.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. And yeah. I said, did he ever yell at you? And Bill got all mad. Don't bring that up again.
He flipped out.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't like
He's
that.
Not happy with
That's
you,
That's not
too.
The legacy that he wants.
I think on the tribute podcast to Bill in the Malibu Kitchen, you two were very vocal in your criticisms, which isn't really in line with a tribute.
But wasn't he known as the sandwich Nazi?
It was called the truth. I told him that I did for a few years. I didn't want to deal with him.
Well, he did show us some pictures of the proposed new property.
Yes.
Which was very exciting. It's still very in very early planning stages, and no one knows, including him, if it's really going to happen. But there were some exciting elements of it. There was a lot about the lack of customers at the Malibu Country Mart now that we're gone.
Yeah.
Empty parking lots.
No problem parking now.
Wait, you're talking on top of each other.
The quality of the cars is way down.
But I just mean people aren't showing up, right, Zuckerman?
No reason to go there now.
There's no reason.
You don't like Lululemon?
No, I think eventually people show up, but Bill was responsible for a lot of traffic.
Yep.
You know, if it was like my family, I would go say hi to Bill. My wife would go into a dozen stores, and my kids would go to the juice place across the way.
Yeah.
They underestimated his appeal.
Yeah.
Yep. They fucked up.
Yep. Yes. Yes, they did. And somebody new, hopefully, will learn. We'll grab onto him and turn it into a real thing. We'll Anybody see. Have anything else? It's a short show today.
I got nothing.
I know. It's rainy. It's depressing.
Yeah.
Next what are you driving in the rain?
The T and the Defender.
What do you got?
Rivian, baby. Actually, I put new tires on my Alpha, and they're killer in the rain.
So. Really?
Yeah. What are you doing?
I'm driving that my E30 Evo 2, my M3, my 1988 M3 in the That's rain. Great.
And it's good?
Oh, it's fantastic.
What tires are on it?
I don't know. Whatever you see over there behind you. I can break it loose, but it's easy to just take it out of a drift. And it's got heated seats. It's got good ventilation. It's got a nice rear window defrost.
I would say, you know, German cars, especially Porsches and BMWs and Mercedes, they're kind of designed for like winter use.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas like a lot of others ain't.
It's really fun to slide it around a corner and catch it.
Yeah.
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 Hopefully not have a tree.
Because I was freaked. I drove the T a little in the rain and it wasn't great. But I put these Vredesteins on my Alpha, and I was a little nervous. And it turns out they're great,
uh-huh.
they're great, and they're summer tires, but they're great in the rain. They totally totally stick, totally work.
I just like a car I don't mind getting dirty. Like, I wouldn't drive my new Porsche in this rain, so this one I can. I can just drive it like a car.
I gotcha.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't like all thinking about all the mud getting caked underneath it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Dreadful.
Well, when are you giving yours back?
Oh, it's back. They took it yesterday.
Well, they did.
What do you get next?
I was supposed to get an SL63, but I'm actually going to Florida on Friday.
So you going to see family again?
We got COVIDed out of Christmas. The whole family got COVID, so we didn't go. So now they're better. So I'm.
Why don't you send them instead of you? Don't you have an emergency? Don't you have COVID?
Listen, man.
Do you want us to send you on assignment?
Yes.
We can send you on assignment.
Yeah. You probably should.
Oh, if you put your foot down, you're getting a hotel. Or you're going to stay there hostage.
Oh, look at Johnny. By the way, Zuckerman, I said to him right away, I said, look, it's no longer the holidays. I'm sorry. We'll see you next year. Yeah. That's how I would have handled that problem.
Let's give him the gallbladder speech. Like gallbladder, stand on your hind legs. Be a man.
Gallbladder is just so you know, it's a psychologist
that we all
that
have
we
seen.
Know. You can't just say the gallbladder speech.
Yeah. No.
He says what?
He says, you haven't heard him? As a man, you need to stand on your two hind legs. Stand up. Stand up for yourself.
I have not heard that
speech. You never heard it?
No. Okay.
You don't have welcome printed on your back. You're not a doormat. Come on. Stand up for yourself.
You know, I could do all those things, but then
couldn't.
The piece, I could. Oh, I could.
No, you don't have it.
Oh, I do have
it. You don't have the stones.
I may not have the stones. I could do all those things, but then it's then the other 358 days a year where I got to hear about it that's right.
That's a smart husband play right there.
No, it's like
I understand that play.
It's like, can I take five days in prison and then have peace?
Hey, you want to hear something cool I'm doing? My wife's so happy with me right now. Every text I send her is written by ChatGPT AI. I did something wrong the other day. I didn't close a cabinet or something. I said, ChatGPT, write Erica an apology note for leaving the microwave door open. And it wrote this lovely letter, and I sent it to her. And then it said, I said, write Erica a little thoughtful little daily love letter text. And I did that. And it was really my emotions, my overwhelming love for you. That ChatGPT spits it out. I send it to her. She comes in, gives me a big kiss.
Are you serious?
She has no idea. She has no idea.
Wow.
AI has improved my relationship. Wow. These are things I
this
would
is
never...
a wonderful fraudulent relationship. A fraudulent marriage, you're engaged in. This is terrific.
Guys and girls,
GTP.
I'm telling you, if you're like me, and I admittedly have trouble with the romantic stuff. I don't feel comfortable. I'm a comedy writer. When I write that stuff, it doesn't feel good, right? ChatGPT, that little interface, the AI can do it for you. And it works. These are all things that you would never write, Zuckerman.
So then how do you get in the mood with your wife as a comedian? I got 11 fingers. You want to see the 11?
That's how you know. It's all ChatGPT now. It's all the AI. Yeah.
Wow.
It wrote some pretty bad jokes. The kids and I were very entertained by some bad jokes. We said, write a joke about Gopher the dog. And it said, why did Gopher eat the garbage? Because he saw the Gophertunity, which is a really bad joke.
That's horrible.
But my kids love bad jokes. And
yeah.
Gophertunity has turned into a new word in our house.
I've been using
it. I actually admired the joke. I thought it was so bad that it was pretty good.
I've been using it to my kid. I let him write Harry Potter short stories with it. Because he's always like, tell me more about Harry Potter. I'm like, I don't know anything here. And I'll say like, make up a Harry Potter short story.
Yeah.
For a five-year-old.
I'm just saying the interface with the significant other, it's pretty great. It's pretty great.
I feel like my wife, if she ever found out, she would like just stab me. That would be...
Yes.
Would your wife stab or would she be like, oh, come on, Spike?
She would say, I knew it.
Depends on the
I knew that's not you.
No, my wife
I have written some very nice notes in the past, but she...
Apology notes, right?
No. No. A note... Apology, I have to deliver that one face to face when I screw up.
I don't write my wife notes. Should I get on this?
Well, on Valentine's Day, maybe. On their birthday, on your anniversary, it's nice to compose something thoughtful.
You have a choice. You could write a note or just bend a frying pan.
Yeah. I'm really good at weaseling
out
of...
Why don't you do that? Why don't you tell you're going to bring the frying pan?
But it's you're already doing. You're making your wife happy. Which
I do others.
It is a smart move to kind of keep the peace.
She's not going to be happy because she's going to be miserable the whole time.
Oh, no, the part I left out is she's much more miserable than I am.
Yes.
Because she knows not only are her is she knows I'm miserable.
Yeah.
She knows that her parents are miserable. She knows everything.
Yes.
So,
but
yeah.
For her, it's deep. Deep pain. Whenever you're with your own family, it's deep pain for you mostly.
Her parents got divorced. Her mom was a single mother raising two kids. Yeah. It's all that pain.
Are you staying in a hotel this time?
No.
Oh, God.
I know.
You're going in reverse.
Are you getting a press car to at least entertain yourself while you're there?
We have a white G-Wagon.
You do?
Yeah. The white G-Wagon.
And how does that work?
I just
where do you land in Florida that you can get a press car like that?
Well, anywhere, but this is we're going to it's near Fort Lauderdale, so
okay. So
there was
so you say, hey, send me a G wagon.
Well, what I do is I have a thing with Mercedes. Is when I go to Florida, they got a lot of Mercedes in the fleet there. So I had this G wagon like 3 weeks ago when I was in Miami, and I said, hey, I'm going to be in Fort Lauderdale, and they said, you know what, like we'll move it up there. And then it's going out of service. And then I had to cancel because of the COVID.
Right.
And then I said, hey, is there any chance? They go, yeah, it's still up there. It's sitting there. So
why do they have so many press cars in Florida? Just YouTubers?
Huge market. There's 30 million Floridians or whatever.
Just for people to drive.
Yeah. And a lot of journalists in Florida.
Wow, that's good to know. Maybe they'll go to Miami.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. They got all kinds
By the way, I haven't driven the new G-Wagon yet.
You haven't?
No.
Oh,
I've got to ask for that right now.
Oh, dude, you would throw your
Michael?
Yeah.
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 That guy.
You'd throw your Defender away and just get a G-Wagon. They're so good.
I would never do.
You should get the 4x4 squared. That's the one you want. The giant monster truck one.
I don't know. I don't think I'd feel comfortable.
Just to drive around for a week, you'd love it. You'd laugh the whole time. Your kids would go nuts.
I'm very happy in the Defender with the cold weather package.
Okay.
It's muddy, it's messy. I'm muddy, I'm messy.
Fair.
Someday I'll find my umbrella that floated down the street and gone forever. But
it's a Kamala Harris house.
I'm happy. Yeah, maybe. No, she was fine. Anyway, that's our show, gents.
Thank you.
Here we are on a Tuesday.
We'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This Valentine's Day, Dunkin's got the perfect pairings to show your love. So get down on one knee with a dozen brownie batter donuts and a cocoa mocha signature latte. Or make them swoon with a strawberry dragon fruit Dunkin' refresher with a Cupid's Choice donut. Are you ready for love? America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.